right. Good morning, everybody. How we doing? It's brisk today, right? Nice, good, cold morning to get your blood flowing, keep the bugs down, keep all that those germs, keep those things out of here, right? So, yeah, let's go jump in the tubs or something, right? Break some ice open. Hell, let's do that. If you want to, go ahead and go for that. So good to have all of you here this morning. For those who are a little bit more cold-natured, if you don't know how this building works yet, I'll give you a heads up. The warmer part of the room is over there. So if you need to slide to some warmth, go ahead and slide that direction. If you prefer to keep your coats on and to be a little chilly, which I do anyway, feel free to slide towards the windows. All right, that's how that works. But I'm so glad you're here this morning, whether you're in person with us or online. Thank you for being with us. I know we have so many people that are sick, that are dealing with a lot of things today. So we're praying for you guys if you're watching online, because you're under the weather for whatever reason. And so we thank you for being with us this morning. If you're online, make sure you're sharing this post with so many people in your friends and family circle. Make sure you're liking and subscribing to our YouTube channel as well, so we can get more and more people engaged in what we're doing here at Faith Church in Pownell, Vermont. Thank you for being with us. If you are new here online or in person, make sure you connect with Dawn in the back. She's going to hook you up with a guest bag if we're in person new. If you're first or second time online, let us know that too. We want to connect with you there, give you a little virtual high five, even give you a free gift. So make sure you don't miss out on that opportunity while you're on there today. If you have kids, we'd love for them to be a part of the process. We have an awesome Faith Kids program downstairs that are engaging your kids every single week with the good news of Jesus Christ and loving on their children and teaching and fostering that environment with them, and making them feel welcome each week. So we encourage you to take them downstairs if you feel comfortable. If not, we'd love to have them upstairs, right? For years, my kids hung out with me upstairs and my family. All of our family would hang out upstairs during church. So if you want your kids up here, I'd love to have them, all right? They're not going to bother me as I'm moving through this process this morning at all, I guarantee you. Matter of fact, I was at a basketball game Friday night, and it was another kid and another family, and he kept like nudging me, and the dad was like, Don't touch. I'm like, I got seven kids. I can't even tell when somebody touches me anymore. You can just keep it going. It's not going to bother me at all. So feel free to have them upstairs as well. A couple of things here going on at Faith I want to highlight. One is the cafe is back open, Junction Cafe. It took a two-week hiatus for the new year, and now we're back full strength. So make sure you're inviting, bringing somebody in with you, and enjoying the cafe space and having a great cup of coffee, great latte, sit around and play some games. We did a little bit of that yesterday morning. It's a great experience, and we want to make sure you're bringing people in from town and coming and having a great cup of coffee, and where all the proceeds are going back out into the community. It's a great ministry. And a great opportunity to give back even while you sit around and have community time with each other. The other thing I want to highlight is 2023 life goals. We started this last week for January. We encourage you to keep jumping in if you missed it or forgot or whatever the case was. You can put your new life goals on the door. There's a little bin or a little tin here rather with some cards and a pen. You can fill those out, whatever goal you set for January. It's just for 1 month at a time, and work towards that goal. We'll hold each other accountable, encourage each other in those goals, and see how they progress month after month as we get through this year of 2023. Maybe one of those goals is jumping into groups. If you haven't done so yet, part of our Faith Church structure is encouraging people to jump into groups. We have men's and women's groups running right now, and they're an awesome time to be able to dive deeper into whatever the topics we're going into, the Word. We dive into the Bible a whole lot, and most importantly, or just as importantly, diving into each other's lives together on a different level than you get through on a Sunday morning. It's one thing to sit here and have conversations. We encourage you to. It's a whole other process getting into it during the week and really connecting with somebody and sharing life together in a unique way. So we encourage you to jump in on those if you've missed out. Men's and women's group run each Wednesday at 6 p.m. We did swap things around for those of you who come. This is a physically located event. We don't do them online. It's just in person. And so what we've done this year is women's groups are meeting upstairs in the cafe, and men are meeting downstairs, right? So that's going to be the process. If you haven't joined us in a while, that's where we're going to be for the next few weeks, all right? So Wednesday, 6 p.m., men downstairs, women upstairs. Come and hang out with us. It's an awesome time as we dive into a lot of good things together. The last thing I need to mention is Faith Annual Business Meeting is Sunday, January 29th at 6, all right? So we only do one business meeting a year, just one. We don't have them every month. We don't have them every quarter, just one little business meeting. And so we encourage you, if you would like to be here and you're a member at our church, to jump in with us Sunday, January 29th, the last Sunday in January at 6 p.m. here. We're going to actually be in the cafe, I think, It'll be a little warmer, and we'll hang out and we'll discuss church business, the review of 2022. We'll also look ahead to 2023 and see what God's got in store for us there, and we'll approve the church budgets and all that fun stuff that we only do once, all right, just the one time. So if you'd love to jump in on that process, we're going to do it again Sunday, January 29th at 6. Make sure you're here for that, all right? Awesome. Last thing I want to invite you into is giving or receiving. Maybe you're in need today. Maybe you have a whole lot of stuff swirling around in your life and you have some bills that maybe are overdue or something coming up that you can't cover. Or maybe you just need somebody to talk to and sit and be in your life in a way that nobody else can right now, because that's a real thing too. Sometimes life gets way fast and you just need somebody to talk to. And we encourage you to reach out to us for any of those needs, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever it is, we are here for you, all right? So go to our website, faithchurchvt.com. Go to the bottom, you'll see all our contact info, and we want to be able to connect with you. Reach out in whatever way is best for you so that we can connect back with you and see how we can help, all right? If you would love to give, we'd love for you to do that as well. Now, each week I stress a couple of different things. One is financial giving, so we encourage you to give either physically with the baskets up front or in the back or online on the website again, faithchurchvt.com. Press the give button there for giving with your finances. And I encourage you to give time, talent, and treasures in all sorts of ways too, right? So maybe you're someone who loves to listen. Maybe you're someone who has a talent for crafting or for anything. Let's just list anything that your talents or abilities might cover. I guarantee you there's something that here at our church that we could plug you into that is going to help meet those needs of somebody else, how you can bless them with what God has blessed you with. And that's what it's all about. Our physical giving, our talents, our time, our treasures, all those things are about blessing others. We talked about this last week a little bit. And so I encourage you to get plugged in deeper. If you have some free time during the week that you love to volunteer, and come to me, find me or email us at faithchurchvt@gmail.com and let me know what your skill set is. Let me know what your availability is, and we will get you plugged in some way or somehow so that you are blessing someone else in a way that you might not have an opportunity to right now. All right. So that's available for you. All right. So it's hard to believe, but we're already 3 weeks into the new year. Can you believe that? 3 weeks into 2023 already is kind of incredible. How's everybody's resolutions going? Yeah, that's good, right? That good. I don't do resolutions typically, and one reason is because they're just way too easy to break, right? It seems like last maybe 2 days and I'm done. I'm already broken resolutions. So I kind of stopped doing that a while ago, which is why I really like the life goals here at Faith, right? Because you can break them and then it's like, oh, great, I can pick it back up in February if I dropped off the wagon there in January. It's just a good reason to kind of jump back into those processes month after month instead of over the course of the year. But one thing I hope you haven't quit on already is our latest series called Identity Crisis, right? Discovering who you're made to be. We started this last week, right? Where we're going to spend some time in Paul's letter to the church to Ephesus, unpack some of these really incredibly big, life-shaping, identity-changing ideas that he lays out for us to wrestle with. And last week, we kicked things off by discovering that our identities, more than anything else, are formed and grounded in story, right? Stories that we've been raised with, stories that we have internalized in our lives. We said that part of the reason so many in our culture struggle with identity is because in this, the days we live in, we have competing and overlapping stories in our culture that creates confusion, that prompts deconstruction, that leads us to this kind of frustrating, disjointed path of discovering how to shape and arrange our world and how to find our place in it, right? That's a lot where our identity struggles begin. We said last week also that the goal for this series, for me when I'm presenting this information, is not to convince you that whatever identity you've chosen for yourself is wrong, all right? That's not what I'm here to do, but rather it is to present you with a different story that views the world from a whole different perspective, that invites to you in to shape you in unique ways, that really sometimes confronts and challenges us to view our world and view ourselves in a way that no other story out there really does. So last week we said that story started with recognizing that humanity's purpose is wrapped up in the biblical idea of blessing, right? That God created us to be blessed and to bless others, to receive his abundance, his spiritual, emotional, material provision in our lives, and to pass that blessing on to others. And we found that humanity fails often spectacularly at this, right? That we rarely bless others, but we usually choose to curse others in many respects in our lives. And what God did in response to that was not say, forget it, we don't need you, I'm going to get rid of you, but to choose. And he chose one, and that one is Messiah Jesus. He chose Jesus, whose life, death, and resurrection allows all who trust in him to then be chosen by God as well, to have that blessing restored that was lost at the beginning. You see, we who trust in Christ are accepted, we are forgiven, we are beloved, we are lavished on because Christ was first. His story becomes our story. Now, there was a lot more to that that I encourage you to go back and watch on our YouTube channel. It was like an hour's worth of content, so feel free to go back and look into that. For now, we got to move on to the next part of this puzzle. But before we do, we're going to take a quick little break. Now, unlike every other week that we normally do this, I usually have a question for you to discuss, but this week I don't. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is I'm going to encourage you to get up, move around. If you're not an incredible introvert, which if you are, feel free to sit. I'm not making you do anything. But if you're here with us, if you're online, I want you to connect with someone new this week. I want you to ask how they're doing. I want you to know, show some love, care, and compassion, right? That's kind of what I'm asking you to do by actually engaging with someone new today. And trust me, really, such a small thing means a whole lot to somebody. I guarantee you that. I've noticed in my own life that when I've taken just a second just to say, hey, how you doing this week? And really care, not just ask flippantly, but really care, that makes a huge impact. That doesn't happen normally in our lives today. So I encourage you to do that this morning. And when we get back, instead of discussing things, I've got some pictures for us to look at together. So you got something to look forward to, all right? So for the next 5 minutes, while we play some music here, and Jaden already got one queued up for you, that's ready to go. We're going to get up, engage one another, grab some coffee, hot chocolate, stand around the heater if you need to, and we'll come back and we'll look at some photos and dive deeper into this story this morning, all right? So let's take five and come back in just a few. All right. We had some good conversations this morning. Got to talk to somebody you haven't got to talk to in a while, catch up, connect. That's what I love about being here, about faith sometimes. And the reason we do this break and why I've kept it forever, it feels like we didn't always have a break, but we started one, was because you don't get that opportunity. You get an opportunity to come here, you maybe show up a little early, maybe stay a little late, but often there's this big middle ground where you don't get to connect. And so much of church, what we see in the Bible and what we want to practice here at Faith is connection. It is community in a real, real powerful way, that it's not just something we think about, it's something we actually do. And so this is just a small opportunity to be able to engage in that process each week. So I want to thank you for that. I mean, your presence, your engagement in person, online, that makes a huge impression, makes a huge difference in how we work, how it operates here at Faith. And I appreciate you jumping in with us, whether you're in person or online. Hopefully you had some dialogue there. I know Dawn does a great job keeping that conversation moving forward. So I hope you're jumping in with that. Now, before the break, I promised some pictures, all right? So I know that all of you love some pictures, and we're going to get into them. They're not family photos. They're not vacation photos. They're not photos of my childhood or anything embarrassing, all right? So now let me get your hopes up. We're going to look at something else this morning, all right? So let's jump right into this. Jaden, go ahead and throw the first one up here. Perfect. The first one here is the Carina Nebula, all right? That's roughly 7,600 light years away. It was actually first cataloged by an astronomer in 1826, which is kind of remarkable. You can only see it apparently in the southern hemisphere, so we can't see it. But if you get in the southern part of the world, you can take at least a small look at it. But with the telescopic cameras we have now, you can see it like never before. This is from the latest James Webb telescope that they have up in space. It's really incredible. And what I love about this is it really opens up new things, right? See, from the very beginning of time, people have looked up to the heavens, right? With generations after generation, we begin to study. They begin to notice constellations and patterns, and notice that some are more prominent than others. They would guide their boats by them. They would sail by them. They would predict events by them, right? And the heavens were these mysterious, these unreachable, these unknowable thing, right? This constant reminder that there was so much more to understand, but that they didn't have the ability or the resources or tools to really uncover it. As advanced as we believe ourselves to be in the 21st century, there's still so much that we don't know. But we can see so much that was previously possible, right? And this is really remarkable when you look at these photos. I got another one for you. The second one is something called Stevens Quintet. Is it up there? Oh, not yet. We're working on it. Stephen's Quintet. There you go. That's a grouping of actually five galaxies. It's really incredible. And it's actually best known for being featured in the film It's a Wonderful Life. So if you've seen it, maybe you've seen a version of that film. And it's a, not that quite that photo, but there's a shot of that there. And this latest photo really shows so much more detail than ever thought was possible. It's so incredible to see galaxies kind of like colliding and all the different elements to this. It's really incredible. Last one for you up here. We'll wait just a sec till Jaden gets it. There you go. Last one is actually a really long shot. It's a really long view of actually thousands of galaxies with their own stars, with their own planets. And the remarkable thing about this one is that this slice of this picture you're seeing here is actually a slice of this vast universe that covers a patch in our sky, approximately the a grain of sand held at arm's length. All right. So if you're imagining you're looking up at the night sky, and we do it. I mean, I love living in Vermont, especially this part. And you can look up and we don't have a lot of light pollution and you can see so many stars. It's just so incredible. You can see a Milky Way on a good night. Right. But what I find so incredible about this shot here is that if you're outside at a random night here in Vermont and you look up at the sky and you see this, there's all this black. Right. And if you hold a grain of sand in your fingers and you put it up and you put it over one of those black spots in the sky, if you were able to magnify it like they could with this photograph, you'd see all this in that grain of sand in the sky. Is that remarkable? One little tiny grain of sand and the whole universe is exploding. There's thousands of galaxies and planets and suns and all this stuff around and exploding around us, and we can't even realize it. You can never see them with your own eyes, but yet here they are. Here they are. It's incredible. See, our identity is shaped by our understanding of the world around us. Again, that's the importance of story, right? Explaining how we view the world. Our stories we hear and internalize, they inform, they transform us, and that's why it's so important to listen to the right one. Now, what if there was more to this world that we live in than meets the eye? What if there are whole galaxies and dimensions that exist that we've yet to experience, and now we're basing our lives based on half-truths or half-information? The next part of Paul's letter, the story he's unpacking here, drives right to the heart of those questions. So I want to explore that together this morning. Now, as I noted last week in the original context, this text that we're reading would have originally been read aloud and listened to multiple times, right? Paul is writing in a language that is foreign to most of us. He was writing in ancient Greek, and he's using these dense, meaning-packed, long sentences in Greek, right? We've got one of those in verses 3 through 14. It was just one long poem. Today, we're getting into verses 15 through 23. And last week, I had someone read. This week, I've got another person to read verses 15 through 23 as we listen to it being read aloud and listen with fresh ears as Paul's writing this morning. So Steve right here, he's going to hook me up. Oh, as a matter of fact, can we run him a microphone, somebody, or get a microphone? Steve's going to get his own microphone. There you go. Make sure you turn that on the bottom. I forgot to do that for you earlier. Thank you. That way people online can hear it too. Let's do a mic check. We good? Nope.
Hello.
Hey, that works. Great. So he's going to read it aloud, verses 15 through 23. We'll just listen in as he reads it. Go ahead.
For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and for your love of all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the ones to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church.
Everybody got that? Good. Let's pray and go home. All right, you ready? No, we can't do that. You're not getting off that easy. So let's remember right off here, Paul isn't talking to just a person. He's not writing to one person. He's writing to a people, right? So every time you substitute, or every time you read the word you, I want you to substitute the word y'all, right? Thank you. Good. See, Dave remembers, right? So I'm going to reread just one brief portion here as we jump into seeing how we're going to unpack this part today. Verses 15 through 17. It's going to be up on the screen too. And thank you, Steve, for reading that. That was an awesome job, bro. Thank you. All right, so verses 15 through 17 says this. He says, "For this reason, because I've heard of y'all's faith in the Lord Jesus and y'all's love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for y'all," right? "Remembering all of my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give y'all the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and of knowledge of him." Last week, we said in verses 3 through 14, you had a poem of praise, really like a song that Paul was writing out here. This section is a prayer. We're getting a look into the window of Paul's prayer life. And he says he knows there's a group of people that have come to trust in Jesus. There's a church here, right? And he wants to pray for them. He says, "I mean, I've heard about your faith in Christ. I've heard how you have come to understand and know and trust him. And I'm so thankful for it. And I've been praying for all of you constantly." Now, that's all good, normal stuff, right? That's typical, I think, when you're reading biblical letters and church things and you're getting into a community of believers. It's like, "Oh man, thanks Paul for praying for me." But what's a little bit unusual for us anyway, is what he prays for next. He says this. He says, "I've been praying that God, the Father of glory, will give y'all the spirit of wisdom and revelation of Jesus." Now, again, that may seem fairly benign to us, but then when you read it in the Greek, the word revelation here is not revelation, it's the word apocalypse. Apocalypse. Now, that word carries some pretty big implications when we hear that, right? So when you hear the word apocalypse, let's talk about it. Yell it out loud. When you hear the word apocalypse, what do you think of? What comes to mind?
Zombies.
Zombies. Zombie apocalypse, right? That's perfect. Yeah. Anything else? End of the world. X-Men. Hey, matter of fact, X-Men Apocalypse was on TV last night. I just happened to catch it, part of it again. Just blew my mind. That it was like, man, we're going to talk about Apocalypse, and here it is. All right. Not the same person, same thing, all right? What else? Who else? Disasters, right? End of the world, zombies, all these things, these big, the things that really couldn't come to mind, all this massive, big stuff, right? But it's an original context. It doesn't mean that at all. All right, so let me give you a little Greek lesson here. Apocalypse doesn't mean destruction, doesn't mean end of the world at all. At all. It actually means to uncover. Almost like pulling a blanket back and seeing something new, like, or a light to shine in a dark place and to reveal a new thing, right? It's an event where something happens and a reality is uncovered or revealed that you didn't have a framework for before, but after you experience it, it changes how you see everything. That's what apocalypse is. Paul himself, who's writing this letter, he himself experienced an apocalypse in his life, right? For the majority of his early life, he was this staunch Jew, right? He was this man, he was raised in Jewish thinking and understanding, and he saw the Jesus movement as a heresy that needed to be stamped out. So he proceeded to oversee the assassination, the persecution of anybody who believed in Jesus that said they were a Jew but now chose to follow Jesus. He was going to have them either persecuted, stoned, killed, whatever the case, that were trying to clamp down on this movement and have it totally removed. But as he was traveling to complete this life's mission, he experiences an apocalypse. On a road to Damascus, the risen Jesus visibly appears to him and just completely throws his life upside down. Before this experience on this road where Jesus appears to him, he saw the world in such a way that Jesus was invisible, right? But after he had met him, a light had shone in the darkness, had revealed what he couldn't see before, and now he couldn't see life and the world around him the same way again. It forced him to live and think differently. Now what he's doing here when he's praying, he's saying, "Man, I thank God for you. I'm glad you're starting to begin to understand who Jesus is and to trust him. But now I'm praying for something new for you. I'm praying for the same thing that has happened to me, this apocalypse in my life, to happen to you, that more and more light will pour in, more and more uncovering of new levels of meaning of who Jesus is, of who we are, of what it means to live in the story of Christ is uncovered in your life." As I was thinking about this, I imagined it's almost like going for a hike. Yeah, hikers here, I love hiking. Anybody else love hiking in here? I love it. What I love about hiking, and it's the same thing I love about paddling on a river, is that when you're walking a trail, you never know what's coming next, right? Even if you walk that trail 100 times or paddle down the river 100 times, it's always something about the fact that there's a bend or there's a hill to crest, right? That there, maybe there's something different. Maybe there's something different there. Even if, again, done 100 times, it doesn't matter. You'll see something new. There'll be something uncovered to you that you missed before, right? So when you're hiking, you go on the trail and you're walking and you see, oh, the trail leads up to this hill. Man, I wonder what's up there. So you get to the top and you're like, oh, there's another hill that you got to go up, right? And it just keeps going and going and going. The more you move and the more you cover, or sorry, the more you uncover and discover, the more you see, man, there's more to go. There's a lot more to go, right? C.S. Lewis, one of his books, he describes heaven in this way. He says it's like a set of rolling hills with no end in sight, and then each one you crest and you get up to the top and you look at that other one, the next one is even more beautiful than the one you're on before. It's this unending exploration of the deep love of the mystery of God and his plan for our lives. That's what Paul is saying here when he's saying, I'm praying for an apocalypse in your life. Not for your world to end, but to be indefinitely and infinitely changed by meeting Jesus in a new way. This new revelation of Jesus. But he's also praying that they would, it not only would get it one time, but it would awaken this desire in them for more and for more and for more. For Jesus to uncover in them the true reality that there is more to this world than what meets the eye. Now, to experience this apocalypse, Paul says you're going to get three things out of it, right? You're not just going to get to know Jesus more, whatever that means. You're going to get these three tangible things. He says you're going to experience hope, you're going to experience richness of God, and you're going to experience the power of God. Right here, Ephesians 1:18 through 28, he writes it like this. He says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. I love that phrase, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Hearts don't have eyes, right? But metaphorically, they do, right? He's saying having your heart opened up in a new way, so that you may know that that what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? What's the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ? Now, what's he talking about here, right? Hope is what we talked about last week, that since God has chosen Christ, right, as the beloved one, as the holy and blameless one, as the forgiven, redeemed, and lavished on one, we too who believe in Christ are now those same things. That's what he's talking about. That we don't have to live wondering if we're good enough in this life or the next. That by living in him, we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are. That's a certain hope. A hope that carries us in this life and that carries on into eternity, so that death doesn't become a problem anymore. It's an equation that's been solved by Christ in his life, death, and resurrection, that we have a certain hope in him. Next, he says, the richness of God's glory and his inheritance, right? Paul is pulling on this biblical story that depicts God as having these never-ending resources, sitting in heaven with these treasures piled up around him, but not to keep for himself, but to give away. I was thinking about this when I was imagining this God sitting on his throne with treasures. I was thinking about Scrooge McDuck, because I'm born in the 80s. So any of you who may know the cartoon DuckTales, anybody know DuckTales, right? A few of you maybe have kids, watched it again, right? That's right. DuckTales, right? So Scrooge McDuck, if you don't know DuckTales, Scrooge McDuck is this rich uncle, right? And he has these three nephews, and I don't know if they ever explain what happened to their parents, but that's irrelevant, right? So he's keeping his nephews, and he's got this giant vault, right, where he keeps all his money, and he has a diving board where he dives into this big pool of coins and gold, and it's just really, really image that really stands out to me that I still remember it now. I haven't seen DuckTales in years, right? But what Paul is pulling on is the biblical image of not Scrooge McDuck, but the same instance, right, where God has got these treasures piled up, but instead of him diving off a diving board himself and glorying in his own treasure, he is giving them away. Paul crouches it in inheritance, right? He says the richness of God's glory and his inheritance. Paul, again, is tying back to the story of Israel, right? There were people under slavery. They were oppressed. They had nothing to call their own, yet God rescued them and gave them a promised land. He says, I got a land for you, a land of promise. Now, when you hear that, because even now in our world, I think that's kind of carried forward. We have a somewhat of an understanding of what that means, but let's talk about it. When I say promised land, what does that mean to you? What is that? What are you seeing when you hear that? Anything jump out? Eden, okay. What else? What's it look like? Got a description of like, man, this is the promised land. What does that look like to you? Beautiful, plentiful, abundant. Those are awesome words. Anybody else? What do you see when you're seeing the promised land in front of you? Anything different? Those are good. Vast space, lots of land, freedom to move around. Okay, very cool. Hope and glory. Yeah, all right, awesome. Yep, maybe it's streams, right? I'm sure some people, when they move from wherever they came from to Vermont, and they come in over this valley, come over the mountains and see this valley and see all the abundance and the streams and the fertile valleys and hills, I'm sure they were blown away by it. It's such a beautiful sight in the summertime. Maybe they didn't, hopefully they didn't show up here in winter, but if they showed up here in summer, they were probably blown away, right? But do you imagine the promised land concept? That's what it means. When God said, I've got a promised land for you, they were living in slavery in Egypt, and now they're moving into a land that they could call their own. It's life, it's abundance, it's security, it's real life is what it is. It's a real life. So Paul's hyperlinking back to this story to apply it to Jesus and those who trust in him now, right? There are people called out of slavery to powers and authority and sin and death toward this new creation, toward this new promised land. And that's accomplished through the power of God. You see, because it's only through his initiative and ability that dead, enslaved people can become new humans. But Paul has a very specific power here in mind. He said, what kind of power can do this? And when Paul's saying, look at the measurable power that God has done, that he promises his richness of his inheritance, what power is he talking about? Ephesians 19 through 23, he unpacks it more. He says, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked, here it is, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, or the dead ones in the Greek, and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he will put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul says the power of God is resurrection power, right? Through the power of God, Christ was raised from the dead ones, the first fruits, Paul would later write in other letters, which is a way of saying there's a whole new way of living. There's a whole new humanity coming that transcends even death. Even death. But that power doesn't stop at the resurrection, right? You saw that. He said through the power he raised Christ from the dead ones, but then he kept going. He didn't just say, all right, now you're raised from the dead and maybe you'll die again. But he raised him up above those things and he placed him, enthroned him in heaven, but above all things, above every power, all things are placed under his feet and he's head over all things, even things here on this earth. You see, in the biblical worldview, the biblical story, heaven and earth overlap, right? We've talked about this before, but I want you to really get this because this is what Paul is driving at when he's talking this language. Heaven is up here, earth is down here, but they touch. They interact in some way that we don't really understand. You see, in our modern minds, either heaven doesn't exist, not really, or it's just this unreachable place, right? We imagine it probably, for most of us, if you've grown up, no matter what your background is, most of us have this understanding that heaven is something that happens after you die, right? That you go there, like it's a place that you somehow connect to after you're dead. But in Paul's mind, that's not it at all, right? You have earth that we live in. This is the reality that we exist in, but heaven is not something that's up here somewhere in the stars. It's actually here, but it's really close, so close that sometimes it touches and overlaps, and you get pieces of heaven on earth, right? This is the reality that Paul is living in. That's an ancient Hebrew mindset, actually. That's why when you're reading the Bible, you can see an ancient Hebrew named Jacob who lays in a field and sees heaven descending to earth in the form of a ladder, a stairway, right? You see this interaction. That's why Moses can go up on a mountaintop on earth, yet see and feel and experience the presence of God down on it, right? That's why Paul can meet a risen Jesus on a road in the middle of the day, because heaven and earth overlap and touch and mingle in a way that we don't really understand. So the power of God raises Christ above all things. He seats him in a throne in heaven, but with authority over everything, over earthly power, over politics, over race, above every name, which means anything that carries authority, like sin, death, unseen spiritual forces, all these things, right? That the purpose of Jesus isn't just to rule in heaven and be seated on a throne that we can't understand or see or comprehend, really, but his purpose there is to bring two worlds together, to unite them into one. Ephesians 1:10, he says this. He says, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. That's the purpose of Jesus. It's not just to save us from our sins and to let us personally be new people, but to create a new earth, new humans to live in that earth. That's the reality. Earlier I said that our identities are shaped by our understanding of the world around us. And I asked the question, I said, what if there were unseen dimensions? What if there were unseen realities that we've yet to experience, but that we could experience? That would change everything, right? It should. It should force us to look at the world from a different angle, right? It should force us to look at ourselves and say, man, now that there's this possibility that something else exists, now my life has to change in light of that new reality. We'd have to reassess who we believe ourselves to be. And that's exactly what Paul is driving at here, right? That heaven is real. It doesn't exist in some faraway, unreachable place that can only be accessed after we're dead. But it's happening now, really. That it's reachable, it's touchable, that it's even actually more real than the world we see around us every day. You see, sin, through humanity's choice to define good and bad for ourselves, shut us out of that heavenly reality, right? You have God in heaven and Eden, all these things that we see in the beginning of time, they're removed. We removed ourselves from that place. And although heaven and earth overlap, that we're almost blind to it, right? That it's untouched and unseen, like these dark spaces in our night sky. But what's really there isn't darkness or nothingness. It's actually a whole reality that we can't always see. Paul's prayer is that our eyes be opened back up to that reality. Now, he lays this out in two ways. He says there's a spatial reality, there's a spatial element to it. Heaven's here, earth is here, they overlap. But there's also a time element. See, Jesus ascends to heaven, and his purpose is to reunite heaven and earth. We said that already, like two worlds converging. But he also says that he was raised and to have power and dominion not only in this age, but in an age to come. This age and the age to come. Now, what in the world does he mean there? What he's doing here again, he's pulling back on this Jewish story, this Hebrew tradition that held that there are two primary ages, two times in this world. This present age, where evil, sin, slavery, death, violence, curse, all those are commonplace. We see this happen in our world every day. That's the age now that we live in here, right? Humanity engages in those activities daily, right? And then there's an age to come, where justice prevails, where love always wins, where freedom is found, where shalom, where peace is present, where blessings flow, where life is abundant and eternal, right? That's the age that is coming. We live in this present age, but we long for this age to come. We long for it. Even those who don't trust in Christ, you can even have an atheist who has no concept of Christ or doesn't even believe that these things exist, but yet there's something built in us, there's some understanding that this is what we're made for. We're made for justice, for peace, for love, for life, for abundance, for blessing, but yet we don't have it. And there's a struggle between the two, right? This is where we want to be. Somehow deep inside we know it's where we're supposed to be. And within the biblical story, our present age is earth, right? That's the earthly reality that we're dealing with every day. And this age to come is heaven, right? That's what we're looking forward to. That's what we're longing for. And so Paul's taking this spatial image of heaven and earth overlapping, and he's saying there's this age to come, and they're converging. They're coming. It's like this big time warp that's like is mashing together, right? And what's happened is that in Paul's mind, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus was the breaking in of this age into this present age. It's like a light shining from the future, bursting into this present darkness here. And so Jesus, as we notice, you look throughout his life, he was this walking, talking window into heaven. A walking, talking look into the way it's supposed to be of what's coming for us ahead. He brought healing, right? He taught peace. He cast out demons. He confronted political and religious oppression. He opened blind eyes and deaf ears. He loved the unlovable, right? He poured out blessing and not curses. He gave abundant life. He brought heaven to earth, the age to come, into this present age. And what Paul said was that his resurrection, after he died. If he'd have died, that would have been it. There would have been no movement. There would have been no understanding of what we're talking about today. But his resurrection was the proof that the old is now passing away and that the new has already started. You see, in Paul's mind, with the breaking in of Jesus and with his enthronement, ruling and reigning in heaven, a new reality exists, okay? A whole new reality exists. And we who trust in Christ are called into living in this new reality in light of that, and that we had to live completely different because of that. You see, in Paul's mind, heaven isn't something you get to after you die. In Paul's mind, heaven isn't something that happens later. Because now that Christ has arrived, now that the age to come has burst in, now that resurrection power has shown itself, that God has raised Christ from the dead, the new has already started. Heaven doesn't come later. Heaven is here now in Christ Jesus. And when you trust in him, you're not just saying, well, I can't wait till I get to heaven one day, right? You don't sing a song where you say, well, one day I'll fly away. You don't think one day heaven's going to be there. I'm going to love it. I'm going to stand in the presence of God then. He says right now in Christ Jesus, heaven is here now. That's why he's saying from an apocalypse, what you're asking, what he's calling for, what he's praying for with such fervency is saying, I pray that you don't look at the world around you and see this is all there is. But pray that you understand that the true reality is that heaven has already arrived, that in Christ, when you trust in him, that you're not waiting for a new reality to happen. You have to live as if it already happened because it has, and you're in it. Now. Now, not later. Right now. And so for Paul, whenever you grasp that, whenever you see Jesus in that reality, you see that heaven is now here in him and that you don't have to wait for it to show up. Now, if you're living differently than that, if you're saying, well, I understand that one day there's going to be justice, one day there's going to be peace, one day there's going to be life, one day there's going to be all these things, and I can't wait till that one day to happen, and you live in the present age, you're denying reality. You're denying Jesus. To get up every day and to struggle and to say, man, I don't know. Today, I don't know. I'm going to choose, and you might not say it out loud, but say, I'm going to choose to curse somebody today, right? And today is a bad day. Today, I'm going to choose to do all the things that I know I shouldn't do, but I just feel like I should do them anyway. I'm going to do them anyway, right? This is what I'm going to do. That's living in this present age. And Paul's saying, you're denying Christ even happened, even existed. You're not really trusting in him, because if you did, this is done. This is over. This doesn't exist anymore. This is real, not what you're living in now. It's new has come. It's here. It's here now. So how we live our marriage, in our marriages, how we have a deal with our kids, how we relate to our elderly parents, how we deal with race, how we deal with slavery, how we deal with oppression, how I relate to my neighbor, all that thing changes. All of those things change when you're living in light of this new world now. Every day has these ultimate stakes because you're choosing to participate in one of the two. One, now that the resurrection has occurred, is passing away. This is gone. This is leaving. The new has already started. So it becomes a question of allegiance. What world am I going to participate in today? What reality am I going to experience today? You see, adopting this story that Paul is inviting us into is to lead a kind of life that we're all made for. That you're invited into comprehending and to responding to an apocalypse. To see the world as it truly is, that there are greater powers at work beyond the people we see pulling the strings, and yet Jesus is enthroned above them all. Our identity, when we see that, is that's challenged. We're confronted with Jesus because in him we find that we are made for this whole new world, a whole new reality that's breaking into the old, and now we have no whole new categories for us to explore when we're talking about who we are. What our identity really is. The question is, will we open our eyes to see it and be changed by it? By him. That's what Paul's praying for. Will you experience an apocalypse, a revealing, an uncovering, to see reality as it truly is and stop living as if what you see every day is real, because it's not really. So for seekers this morning, I threw a lot at you. I threw a lot at you, because if you're a seeker who's like, man, I've been raised in a culture and a time and a place where I'm not even sure if heaven's real. And I tell you that heaven is not only real, it's more real than what you're living right now. You're telling me you're living a fantasy. You're looking at me like I'm a crazy man who's talking about stuff that can't possibly be real. I'm talking about fairy tales at this point, right? But I want to tell you, I'm not. I've come to experience it in my life. There's so many of us around in this place that have come to experience personally that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and trusting in him has unveiled what the world really looks like, what it really means to live with as husband and wife, what it really means to raise your children, what it really means to deal with race and, again, oppression and all these things, and living in light of the new and not the old. That's real. Now you have to wrestle with that, right? That's why Paul says it's a prayer, because what has to happen is we have to, one, be vulnerable. We have to say, man, maybe it is. Open ourselves up to the possibility that could be that way, that could be the reality that exists. You had to come to that point. And if you are to that point, it still takes work. It's like, man, I don't know, but what does that really mean? How did I really live that way? We're going to unpack that later. But that really starts with that question. Can it be real? If it is, now who am I? Because I'm not basing my identity off of what I see, touch, feel, and hear in this world now. Now I'm basing my identity off of what is coming, what is, that now is being uncovered in my life. And that changes, again, everything. So if you're here today and you are ready, you know, maybe you're like, man, I know this is it. I know this is what I'm made for. In Christ, now I hear that he has accepted, forgiven, loved, brought me into his home, and now I can begin to see the world as it truly is by living in him, by trusting in him. We're going to give you a chance to do that in just a minute. Now, maybe you're not, though. Maybe you're like, man, I don't know about this mess. You're throwing a bunch of stuff at me, and I can't quite wrap my head around it. You're talking a little crazy this morning. I get it. All right, I get it. Totally get it. So I encourage you. Stick around. Don't run away and hide and say, I don't know, that's just gobbledygook that I can't comprehend. Lean in and listen a little longer. Because I guarantee you there's something within you that when I say that there's this world to come, and it's already started in Christ, that there's peace, love, hope, joy, comfort, life, abundance, blessings, all these things, you know, man, that is what I want. And you know that there's everything else you strove for in this life that you tried to do on your own has not got you there, that you know there must be something about this Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to keep leaning into that, to keep listening in and like, man, I don't quite know if it's real or not, but I want to listen and find out more. Keep doing that. Keep asking questions, because we want to have those questions. We want to get a little deeper than just the surface level stuff. I don't want anybody to believe flippantly. I want you to know what you believe, what you believe, what you believe. So keep asking us questions, keep being with us. For believers, though, here's what I would normally do. I probably have done it before. I would normally ask you, in light of this information, in light of what Paul is saying to us today, I normally ask you, are we living as if heaven were on earth now in Jesus? That would normally be a question I would pose to you. But in light of today, I'm removing the as if. So I'll ask it this way. Are we making choices in our lives? Are we loving others? Are we loving God in the new world, in the age to come that has already begun breaking in on us in Jesus? Or are we living as if it doesn't really exist? As if it's something that maybe is coming, but isn't here yet. That it's something to look forward to, but not to participate in now. To have our identity shaped by it, to have our life shaped by it. Now, which world are we living in? It's not a question of one day, I'll look forward to it, can't wait to be there. Awesome. No, are you living in it now, or are you living in the old? Now, if you're choosing to live in the new, here's the other question. Are we looking for more of it to be revealed to us? Or are we just comfortable to wait? Paul wasn't comfortable waiting. You see, Paul had gotten a taste of heaven when Jesus appeared to him. And he said, man, I want more. You know, I'm not going to be selfish with it. I don't want more for myself. I want you who started to trust in Jesus to know who he is. I want you to see more and more. I want you to begin to live as if the veil of heaven has been torn open and that what you see every day isn't just mountains and valleys here on this earth. You see heaven opened up. You don't just see people with problems. You see heaven showing opportunities for you to step into their lives and to show them love in a way they haven't experienced. You're seeing all these things in a whole new way, that it's not just content with what you have, but that you want more of the new, more of it. My prayer this morning is Paul's prayer to that church when he wrote this letter 2,000 years ago, is for us to have an apocalypse and a desire for more apocalypses so that you can better know who you are, who Jesus is, what God has for you in your life today. So let's pray this morning to that effect. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Again, I don't ask you to do that because I want you I'm not trying to do it to manipulate. What I'm trying to do is make sure you are taking a moment to really shut down everything around you and to connect. Sometimes we see the world around us better when we close our eyes and focus on what God has for us. So today, as we have our eyes shut this morning, maybe you're that seeker. Maybe you're that person who's not sure, but today you hear about this new world to come. You hear about how it has already arrived in Jesus. And that to receive that, to live in it, to bless others, to live in abundance, to have eternal life, is to trust that Jesus actually lived, died, and rose again, that he covered your sins, that he has forgiven you. He holds out his hand to you and says, you are home. Come to me. This is where you belong. If you accept that call today, it starts by praying, a prayer of repentance, a prayer of accepting that call. It can be one like this. It had to be these words, but words like this. It can simply be, Jesus, first, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry that I have chased, God, the blessings of something I knew in my heart to be true, but I've kept chasing and chasing, but I haven't quite found it. I'm sorry that I've been doing it on my own, or that I've been striving on my own. And today, Lord, my life is kind of messed up, if I'm being honest. I've made some mistakes. I've made some messes. Lord, but today I'm asking that you clean me up, and that you make me new. Lord, that I live an abundant life now in you, and also know that you are giving me eternal life, one that transcends even death, that death is not even a problem anymore in you. I can live in that hope, in the richness of your inheritance, in your power, in me. Now, if that's you this morning and you said that prayer, one like it, it had to be that those exact words, I encourage you to connect with me online, like or leave a comment, in person, find me when we're done. I want to make sure we talk about what happens next, because again, there's more to go than this. But for believers and everyone else, as we close, I want us to pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you are a God who does not hide himself. Lord, I thank you, Father, that God, you are not a Lord who keeps things to himself, that you don't have this big vault in heaven, and Lord, you don't, that you keep to yourself, that you dive in from a diving board, but Lord, you are graciously giving all things out, God, that Lord, in Christ, you have begun to bless each and every single one of us, that you are calling us to be new humans, to live in this new world, Father, that we hasn't been fully realized yet, but we're going to live in it now, because in Christ, it has already started. Lord, I pray, God, that we recognize that the world that we live in, God, the things that we see are not the ultimate reality, but God, that you, God, and in Christ, Father, you have opened up, you have brought an apocalypse into our lives. You've shown us what reality really means, what this world really looks like. And God, that you've called us to live differently because of it. God, that you've called us to bless others. You have called us to live abundant life. You have called our mouths to speak peace and truth and love and not hate and division and curse. God, that you have called us into this new reality and to live as if it is happening now, because it is happening now. God, I pray, Lord, that every person here and online as we're watching today will not be satisfied, Lord, with just knowing a little bit about what's to come, a little bit about that new reality, but God will want to see more and more and more, Lord, that you will reveal in us more of heaven on earth, more of Christ in us, that you will transform us to look different, to love our wives and our husbands differently, to love our children differently, God, to love our neighbor differently, to love our enemy differently, Lord, to love, Lord, as those of you, as if you have loved us, Jesus, to experience it in ways we can't even begin to imagine, but we can't wait to experience. God, we thank you for that. We praise you that you are going to be faithful to do that, and we can't wait to see how it changes us today and each day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you again for being online with us first. We're going to close you out first here today. I want to thank you for jumping in with us. Make sure you're sharing this, liking this. If you're homesick, we're praying for you. Keep pushing through. We can't wait to see you back here in person when you're healthy. And we love you guys, and we can't wait to see you guys next time. All right?